everyone. Welcome to another episode of All Crime, No Cattle. I'm Erin.
And I'm Shay.
And we have a special mini episode for you today, and it's going to be all about the Austin, Texas podcast meetup and all of the great podcasts that we were able to sit down and interview. So that's going to be a special little thing for you today.
Yeah, so we had our road trip down to Austin. It was pretty great. We got in just in time to see the 1.5 million Mexican freetail bats emerge from the Congress Bridge, and we didn't think we were going to make it, and we made it just in time. We got a little bat pee on us. I think we have Ebola now. We kept making Ebola jokes all trip long. Yeah,
hopefully we're okay.
Yeah, it was great.
Maybe
time.
Maybe rabies instead.
Still also bad. Yeah, the hotel was great. We got to hang out down on 6th Street. We went to the Museum of the Weird, which is kind of like a freak show museum that we had this weird little mini seance in Johnny Depp's old apartment when he was filming What's Eating Gilbert Grape. That was weird.
That was awesome. That was definitely a highlight for me.
Yeah, I love that. And then, you know, we saw a lot. We saw some naked people. We saw a guy with a boa constrictor and a top hat. Austin, you're weird. And you're keeping it weird.
We ate a lot of delicious food. And we drank a lot of delicious beer.
We did.
That's the important thing.
Mm-hmm. And we also got to hit the world famous Buc-ee's truck stop on the way home, which is always great. You always hit up a Buc-ee's if you're in Texas.
Yeah. Overall, it was a success. We had a lot of fun. And at the meetup, we got to see a lot of our friends, a lot of people that we've sort of established relationships with over, I don't know, the past year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And that was podcasters like Swindle, Texas 1031, and Avert Your Eyes. They were all there and we were able to catch up with them. And we got to meet up with a few new folks like Thrift Therapy and Gravity Beard and a bunch of others. We had such a blast meeting new people and seeing everybody again and catching up. So that was a really good time.
So many cool shows that showed up. And we got to see a handful of fans of All Crime, No Cattle.
Yeah, that was fun too.
So one of them was calling me Shea Butter from the bar, which was weird.
And then another person, she did not have a cattle joke or bones, but she was able to provide a llama joke on the spot, which was very good.
It was very much appreciated.
But we were able to sit down and talk to a few more podcasts this time around, and those interviews will be featured on this episode. However, unfortunately, due to some technical problems, we did interview a great podcast named Chatty Crafties, but somehow that audio was lost.
Yeah, so, it's unfortunate. It's probably my fault.
I feel like you probably didn't hit record.
I felt like I did, but you know, it was the first interview of the night.
So, yeah. But anyways, we'll be making it up to them by featuring them in a future episode. And we also didn't get a chance to sit down and talk to our friends at Murder City, so we'll also be featuring them in a future episode as well. So we're going to be doing this for the next couple weeks, doing some additional interviews with some Texas podcasters, so that should be fun.
Yeah, it's part of the problem when you get so many awesome podcasts in one place. You can't get to all of them and have time for everybody.
Well, also, we all just kind of wanted to party and have fun and not interview for a few minutes, and so that was a part of the issue. But our first interview was Ryan from the Austin, Texas Metal Show. Shay, would you like to kind of say a few words about his show?
Yeah, Ryan and his co-host have a really awesome show called the Austin, Texas Metal Show, and it's really cool. They get to interview a bunch of really neat local bands. They have an awesome connection to this big, amazing venue in Austin that features local metal bands. A really cool guy, has a lot of great connections. If you're into all things metal and local bands, check out his show. They give away tickets, and they have lots of really neat behind-the-scenes interviews and stuff. Really great show.
And after that, we were able to sit down with Lainey from True Crime Fan Club. Oh, Lainey. She is one of our good friends. She has helped put all of these meetups together, I'm sure has done a lot of the back-end stuff, so thank you to Lainey for that. She actually has three shows.
God, you're overdoing it, Lainey.
Lainey is so extra, but she's so lovely. And she's, I can't believe the amount of work that she puts into all of these podcasts. It's crazy. And she talks to us about those three shows and about the podcast community in general, which she is a very strong part of.
Our next interview, we got to talk to Saul from Nerds from the Crypt. If you, like Erin and I, are into all things horror, the macabre, and just weird stuff like comic books and horror novels, this is the show for you. Saul hosts Nerds from the Crypt, and it's just this really neat, interesting podcast where he does interviews with authors, comic book writers, directors, people who've been in horror movies and the horror genre for a long time. He has guests. They talk about different horror movies from time to time. And yours truly might be on a future episode with Nerds from the Crypt. but we got plans to cross over and go on a show and talk about one of our favorite horror movies, so that's really exciting. So yeah, go check out that one.
And finally, we got to talk to Krista from Lone Star Law & Disorder. We didn't actually get to interview her at the meetup, although we did have a really great conversation with her. But we were able to interview her later over the phone, so that's why it's going to sound a little bit different. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to talk to her because we want to highlight her show. It's great. It's one of our new favorites, and I think her podcast is going to blow up in the near future, and we really want you guys to listen.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. That's going to be the four that you're going to hear today. And then again, we're going to have a couple more featured in the next coming week, so that should be fun. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Yeah.
Let us know. And please... be sure to check out these podcasts. These are really great indie podcasters. We love their shows. They're really great people, very supportive, and we would love to help continue to support them in that way.
Definitely. Yeah. Rate, comment, review.
Subscribe.
Do it all.
Enjoy. Until next time.
Crime is bigger in Texas, y'all. Adios.
Bye.
All right, so this is our next interview for our live at Texas Podocalypse Austin edition.
Podocalypse!
Yeah, let's do it. We just took the group photo. That was really awkward, yet fun. And
someone touched my butt, but I also touched someone else's butt.
Oh, a different person?
It's just, yeah.
Oh, great.
I think so.
There's a lot of butt touching going on in that, in that group, I'm sure.
But it's the pass it on mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Okay.
It's like you do me, I do you, you do them.
Yeah, and just keep it going.
Domino effect of butt touching.
Yeah. Excellent.
I love it.
So, introduce yourself and your show.
My name is Ryan. I am a part of the Austin, Texas Metal Podcast. Unfortunately, my co-host and actually the originator, Chris, he's not here right now. He had a family thing.
We're only on episode
60, but we always like to just let everybody know that we're still here. You know, we took like a six, seven month break just because like Chris was going to school. I would switch job locations. But the meat and potatoes is that through friends of friends, and I could tell you guys the whole rundown, you know, on a different episode, but basically he met a guy in the Marine Corps who I became friends with in Kuwait, who was also in the Marine Corps because we're all vets. And then he got free tickets to a Threat Signal show at the Dirty Dog Bar and was like, I need somebody to go with me. Ryan, do you want to go? So we go on the ride home. He's like, do you want to start a podcast? I said, what's a podcast? And mind you, I mean, 4 years ago, podcasts were still really hot, you know, like, and still today they're ever growing and there's new ones like every day. But I was like, all right, sure, I don't know what to do, but I'll just come over and talk about shit. I have no clue what the Austin scene is about. I don't know anyone in town except for you and like seven other people. And now 4 years later, we have Come and Take It Productions as our sponsor. They run Come and Take It Live, which is off East Riverside. If you know where Emo's East is, it's at the other end of the building. So anytime you want to go see a metal show, all you got to do is go to like comeandtakeitproductions.com and check out the calendar. You can go to atxmetalpodcast.com and go to our live tab and then click the learn more button, which will jump you straight to their calendar. We're also working with Odyssey Print Shop, which is a local, you know, t-shirt, stickers kind of thing. And that's relatively new. And it's kind of crazy. I've been talking to everybody here tonight about like, you know, swag and stickers, and everybody's asking me for a card.
Great.
So the focus of the show is on the Austin metal scene?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All, yeah. Right. All we do is interview local metal bands. We actually used to have a different format where we would interview like on a Sunday or whatever day was good for the band. No, typically Sundays, because you know Sundays are just whatever days. And it just our first four to five, just like any other podcast, your first like 10 episodes just suck terribly, and you go back and listen to it, and you're like. Like, if you really want to hate yourself, you go back and listen to those episodes.
We recently just did this.
And then you chastise yourself afterwards, like, I will never do that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was how it went, to where we were reaching out to bands to, like, hey, please. We were, like, enticing them with steak dinners.
Wow.
And for 15 episodes when we actually started having bands over. 10 to 15. Yeah. New York strip steaks.
Sorry about that, but Whiskey Boy Radio is getting a little intense with his show. We had to move locations. But continuing on.
So
once we got over the initial, hey, this is who we are, we're here to have fun and interview and get your word out to everybody else, then it just slowly, like, just evolved into, like, I don't want to say that we're a staple in the local metal community, but when you hear Austin, Texas Metal Podcast, like, you think of, like, you know, it's like Google. I mean, we're not, okay, I take that back. We're not as big as Google. One
sure.
day, you know, one can wish.
But you're Googleable.
Yeah, we are Googleable.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, it's so awesome because I've, like, meeting all the podcasters here tonight is just such an amazing thing. And the fact that I was able to make it, like, by the skin of my teeth or what is the seat of my pants or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be here and just interact with everybody else and just, like, I'm learning how to, like, use Facebook analytics. Everybody's like, get a fucking Twitter.
Yeah, you gotta do Twitter.
Dude, it broke my soul to get an Instagram for the podcast. But I was you know what, that makes sense. But no, it's so cool just to see the podcast community just come together and just chill and hang out, have a good time. And
so, you gotta come down for a Come and Take It Live.
100%.
That would be amazing.
Okay, so let me get into a little bit of your metal proclivities.
Sure.
Because
I don't know what that word is, but I'll look it up later.
Just your tastes, your metal palette.
I had a
feeling
it was what you feel like you like.
Yeah, like your metal palette. Because metal is a dynamic genre.
Man. Okay, so when I was in the Marine Corps, I cut my teeth on Avenged Sevenfold, Him, all the, like, CKY, you know, BS, like the crazy kind of, like, fanatical metal.
Okay.
But I will admit, Breaking Benjamin, like, that was my jam.
Uh-huh.
Like, and then I kind of, like, evolved into, like, Atreyu, and it kind of just grew from there. Then I got into, like, As I Lay Dying, which I know Tim Lambesis, you know, tried to murder his wife, and now he's back out doing a tour, but the music's good. He sucks.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Except it's not a Texas thing.
Yeah, it's true. It's out of our realm.
But my personal taste is I'm into progressive metal.
Ooh, okay.
It's
good.
You know, the ones and zeros and the gent just get me.
We're big power metal heads. We're big prog metal guys and ladies. I personally have seen Opeth, what, like nine times?
Didn't they just play here not too long ago?
Yeah.
And
I'm, man, I love Opeth. But, you know, that's just kind of what our tastes are. We just saw Judas Priest a couple of years back, and that was amazing.
We just did an episode on Dimebag Darrell.
Yep.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, that's a Texas legend.
Dallas
legend. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, just a Dimebag just resonates. I mean, there's people here at in the Come and Take It family that actually go to his gravestone or celebrate, like, Dimebag Day.
Yeah,
yeah, we covered the pilgrimage that happens on Dimebag Day.
Okay.
Yeah, and everybody pours a black tooth grin out on his
black
tombstone.
Goddamn, that's dude. That is if you're ever in Come and Take It Live, and you're ever happen to meet Anthony Stevenson, he's one of the owners. He runs Come and Take It Productions. He puts on the majority of all the shows. He's our one and only sponsor. Thank you, Anthony. If you ever hear this, thank you. We're actually a part of a tour. We're sponsoring Chernobyl the Secret. They're a local homegrown band. They just went through a vocalist change. Just, you know, bands do what they do, and you just got to keep pressing on. And it's so cool for people to reach out. Like, I do it for the fun. I don't do it for the notoriety.
Sure.
And same for Chris. Like, we're very low key. We just come to shows, you know, we headbang.
But do you feel like you've actually been able to carry the banner for local metal music? And, like, that's really cool that you've been able to be in that situation and have that responsibility. And, you know, next time we come down, that would be awesome to hook up with you guys because we love metal music. We seriously do.
Dude, okay, I'll just say this. So on, if you go to comeandtakeitproductions.com, you can find the calendar, or you can go to atxmetalpodcast.com and you can click on our live tab. And if you scroll down just a little bit, there's a little button that says learn more, and that'll instantly take you to the calendar in case you can't manage the Come and Take It website. And if you just scroll through the calendar, like, they have it all pre-built. They have links to Ticketfly. This is the one thing that I've learned throughout doing this is if you find a big name band that's coming through, 90% of the time there are locals that are opening up for that show.
Yeah.
Buy from the locals. Like, I do ticket giveaways. Like, I've given, oh man, so much money over the years of purchasing tickets from just the locals so that I can either put 100% always put money back in their pocket, either $2-3 from the ticket cut. It doesn't matter, but it's going towards them and their efforts to bring you all of this cool shit that you're watching while sipping a, you know, whatever your drink of choice is that night.
Yeah, because they get a little bit of cutback.
100%. Yeah. It's just so
but
cool.
You get to be involved in those interpersonal relationships between all these fans and get to see the behind-the-scenes story to get these event developments.
Yeah, that's like really like cool. On our last podcast, like breaking news, Bury the Rod, which is a local homegrown band, they're getting ready to drop a 10-song out, like a full length. Like, it's rare for a local to drop a full length.
Yeah.
And he was like, ha-ha, breaking news, we got a full length coming up. And I was like, and this is when we were doing Facebook Live. Like, we're starting to get into the Facebook Live thing now. We still upload to SoundCloud and YouTube. Chris is doing all the legwork. I need to put in a little bit more work. I really hate that
but
he's
you're
not
here. You're here, though.
I hate that he's not here. But, yeah, I came here to get information about everybody else.
Sure.
So the coolest thing, and I'll just complete this, you know, Simba circle of life kind of deal. So I met Chris through a friend of mine that I met overseas where I met my wife. That friend introduced me to Chris. Chris took me to a show. We started a podcast. From the podcast, we interviewed Greg and Daryl, formerly of Neverbloom, local band. They converted over to the Ansible. They got such rave reviews from their first solo, or I guess from the first first song they released. They were like, you need more.
Single.
And they were like, okay, well, we have a lot of material, but we don't have people. Well, let's form a band. Through the podcast, they picked up Chris. Chris is now part of the Ansible. They're 2-3 years running now. And I remember at work, Chris played me a solo part that was on the album. I think the song is Divinity on their last album called Draw Closer. And it's this really just killer, just sweepy, just... And there's a part where he had done something, and I was like, you know what, Chris? It needs that... I said that fast shit, that... He was like, okay. He went back, changed it, and said, what do you think of this? And I was like, fucking perfect, man. It's now a part of the album.
Oh, cool.
My daughter's favorite song is Divinity off Draw Closer. And whenever she hears Chris's solo come up, she goes, here comes Crowman. But I helped build that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
That's it, and it's just so, it's so amazing. Like, I have zero musical talent. Like, air drums, drunken karaoke, like,
you
may, whatever.
You just got to use your mouth guitar to describe what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's
like me.
It's called
like
arpeggio.
Yeah. That's what Aaron does in the car all the time. Yeah. When her favorite guitar solos come on, she knows them by heart, and she'll mouth guitar them.
It's the perfect. Exactly. And Parker does it too. She'll hit the.
That's adorable.
Yeah. It makes me so proud that I was able to help build and facilitate all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, I know I had nothing to do with that except go, Chris, you should just go. And he was like, well, fuck, this is my best friend and he's my target demographic and maybe I should, let me try it. And he went in, tried it, pitched it to Greg of Chopped Harder Studios. If anyone's listening to this that is metalheads and they want their stuff like mixed, mastered, and produced, Greg Hink, Chopped Harder Studios, he's produced Beyonder, Filth from North Carolina. The list goes on. Obviously,
that's the inside information that metal fans need to know.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Hink, Chop Harder Studios will make your shit sound like you are on cloud nine.
Well, I know you got to get back and pick up your daughter.
I'm sorry, I've been
raising. But you've been awesome, and thank you for doing this interview on the show. And it was great to get a chance to meet you. And I was super excited to be involved with y'all's show coming here to Texas Podocalypse.
Oh, yes, I'm excited too.
But if your final shout outs, your final where people can find you, what you're doing soon, wrap yourself up in a nice little bow.
Oh, I always do this on our show as well. Like, hey, any final whatever, and then I just sit back.
Yeah, now you got to do it.
Now I got to do it.
Yeah.
All right. So obviously we are. I'm Ryan, co-host Chris, the originator. I always have to give credit where credit's due.
Sure.
Austin TX Metal Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. Instagram is ATX Metal Podcast. Our website is atxmetalpodcast.com. You can find us on SoundCloud, YouTube. We're not on iTunes, I think because of a copyright issue, or maybe we're just lazy. I'm not too sure, but we're not there. We'll get there one day.
You're everywhere else, though.
But yeah, man, I appreciate the interview. Like,
sure.
Stay in contact.
Hit 100%.
Like, I plan on taking everybody's info from this place tonight.
Well, good luck with the podcast.
Thank you very much.
There's the awkward handshake.
There it is. Awkward handshake.
Thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you next time. Well, we're back here at Texas Podocalypse.
Yeah.
The interview is happening, and we're here with a very special guest. We're here with Lainey.
Yay!
Of True Crime Fan Club. Yay!
Finally.
I know. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't know you were doing this last time.
I know. You,
like, I was
you
like,
just bailed.
Bye. It's 11. Bye. I have sleep time.
Yeah. You're on a routine. You got to
yes,
keep it.
I do. Keep yep, it tight. That's why I stay this way, which is no way. Just kidding. Yes.
So, we're happy to have you.
Thanks.
Everybody loves your show.
Do they?
Dude, seriously. Like, we get a lot of people who come to our show that are just like, we heard about you from True Crime Fan Club.
Good. Yeah. That makes me really happy. Yeah. That's what the whole point of promos are.
Yeah.
I love that. So,
right?
That makes me happy. I'm glad. Oh.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hopefully, we're driving people to you, too.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you're reciprocating.
I'm we're
kidding.
Trying.
No, I love that, though. That's the whole point for me for promos. I think I don't look at anybody like as competition in that sense. I got a lot of help from a lot of people when I first started, and that's what I try to do for everybody, even if like it makes no difference. But if you get 3 listeners or 4 listeners, that makes me happy. So it means it's working. It means the network's good, and everybody likes your show, and they stay and listen to you. So that makes me happy. So I'm glad.
Yeah. Yay. And it's still a word of mouth genre, so.
Yes, very much so.
Many people that can talk about your show, the better.
Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so what do you got coming up?
I don't know.
Because you're a busy, busy podcaster.
Yeah.
You've not just have True Crime Fan Club, you've decided to take on a mountain of work with
yes,
other shows.
Yes.
So tell everybody about those.
Okay, so I have 2 other shows besides True Crime Fan Club. I have We're All Just Pretending, which is a mix of Dear Abby and Post Secrets. So I have a bunch of different podcasters come on and read the secrets portions, which you guys haven't done, but you can. Or you have?
No.
You haven't?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no.
We need to get you on there and do that. There's some fun secrets, some really sad secrets. It's amazing to me, especially with that show, how much people trust me to keep their secrets and to share them anonymously, because everybody stays anonymous. Like, I've submitted my own secrets that have been read on the show that nobody has any idea about. And it's really so freeing in a way that you get to kind of release that burden. You're like, okay, it's out there. Nobody knows. I said it. It's fine. But then the advice portion is also my favorite part, because we have people who do really bad advice on purpose, people who get drunk and give advice. Charlie from Insight does more of a family type of advice, and I just do kind of whoever's left, whoever wants me to answer their questions. And then I just started a new show in July. And it's a paranormal podcast called It's Haunted, What Now? And it's focused more so on haunted objects and the people who let those things into their lives and how it affects them. But then also just other paranormal experiences that I think are really weird and creepy that freak me out, that cause me to be like, why am I recording this episode right now? So I really like it. I really enjoy it. Paranormal is one of my favorite things in the world. It's one of those things I like to indulge in and try and believe in, even though I'm still kind of a skeptic. But it's fun to try and get convinced and scare myself every now and then.
I'm totally a skeptic, but I am definitely still creeped out about paranormal things.
Yeah, I don't want to see anything, but I just want to hear the stories of things that happen.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, oh, a haunted hotel would be cool. And then somebody's like, yeah, I stayed in a haunted hotel, and I got somebody like blew in my ear. And I'm like, never mind. It won't be great, because they were like sleeping or something. And I was like, pass. I don't want surprises.
We were actually thinking about trying to do like a ghost tour or something while we were down here. We were going to invite everybody, but then we didn't have time to actually do it.
We should do it for Fort Worth, because there's some haunted places out there. And we could totally do that. And I'm sure there's a tour company out there. Like, there is every major city.
Everywhere.
We had so much fun in New Orleans when we did one. It was fun.
Oh, I would have loved to.
It was so
fun. Did you go to the Murder Museum in New
Orleans? No, we didn't.
I want to do that.
I know.
We missed that. We also wanted to go to the Pharmaceutical Museum, which looked extra creepy.
What?
It was just, like, old pharmaceutical equipment, like, vials of weird stuff. And
all, like,
have you guys been to the Murder Museum in Philadelphia?
Mm-mm.
Like, the weird oddities and science stuff?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's creepy.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, they have conjoined twins.
Oh, well, we just did something like that. Last night. We went to the Weird Museum.
Yeah. It was okay, really I want to cool. see that. It was cool. Because I saw it in the little, Observer or something like that. And I was like, I want to do that tomorrow.
It was a lot of fun. And it was cheap.
Oh, really?
It was really cheap. Yeah, it was like $12 to get in.
I think so, yeah.
But they have different curators of different sections, and they are creepy.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we kind of were a part of a weird spiritualist mentalism ritual in an upstairs area.
It was an experience.
Okay, I want to try it now.
Yeah, definitely check it out.
I'm excited. Yeah. I love things like that. It creeps me out. But yeah, no, I love haunted like anything. So I love doing things like that. Most people don't because they're like, it's a waste of money or whatever. But I like it.
It's a fun experience.
It's an experience.
Yeah.
That's what I'm after. Yeah. I don't want a ghost. I just want to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we have to thank you because you're pretty much the main organizer of the first meetup.
I was just about to get to that.
And then the next meetup.
Yes.
Yeah. You've become the brain.
And the meetup after that, because we're even talking about doing Fort Worth after Houston.
Yes.
I mean, I think you're the one who reached out to like almost everybody who ended up coming. So yes. I mean, you pretty much did.
I network
everything.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
We did, and it was really weird how it all happened really quickly, very fast. I mean, we planned the first one in less than 3 hours. We're like, this date worked for everybody. Yep, cool. We're there, and it's like, what's next? I think it's because we had so much fun together. We were like, why didn't we do this earlier? Especially. I mean, there are a ton of podcasters in Texas that are really, especially in the DFW area, that are super close to us. I'm like, why didn't we think about doing this earlier? It's a great networking opportunity for us, but it's also a great opportunity for listeners of our shows to get together and be like, oh, you do this? Oh, you do that? I mean, I've heard that so many times here today where it's like, what show do you do? Okay, I haven't heard that. And then they exchange stickers or business cards or something like that, and now they possibly have a new listener or somebody who's willing to give their show a try, which is ultimately, as a podcaster, what you want, right? You want somebody to just download an episode. And if you like it, great. But if you don't, fine, move on, and maybe you'll find a show that fits your needs or something like that. And I've heard a lot of that here today, especially with listeners, and I freaking love it because that's the whole point of this, and I'm so proud.
I know, man, and it's fun to have people show up and be interested to meet you. I mean, it's kind of creepy.
Right?
It's kind of creepy,
right?
Yeah. But
like, don't lie. It's kind of weird.
But it's also cool that somebody took out the time in their day and their schedule to come out.
Like, my mom was like, I can't wait to meet them. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I'll introduce you. And Anna's the same way. Like, I was like, did you go see Shane Aaron? And it's weird to me because they don't know what we look like sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, who are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, unless you're wearing
really,
yeah.
They're
like, I know your voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't know your face.
I don't believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I heard someone at the bar just saying, Shea Butter, Shea Butter. And that's like my nickname on the show now. Thanks, Aaron.
That's
what people
clever.
Are calling out for me.
It wasn't me. It was by a fan.
Oh, my God.
Who started
was
it?
Was it Anna?
Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Yeah. But that's part of the fun of it, though.
Yeah. It's weird in a way because, I mean, we're normal people. We have, like, everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And then somebody knows your voice first and then sees you and is like, oh, my God. Like, there was a listener here who was like, yeah, I just want to talk to you real quick about it. I was like, okay, I didn't know anybody knew me. Here, awesome. Okay, great. But, I mean, it's weird.
That's how I immediately knew Cece from Murder City. Like, as
soon
as I heard her voice, I was like, oh, that's Cece.
Yes. I only knew Krista because of her shirt, and I was like, oh, yeah, Krista.
Yeah.
But Cece I knew because I heard her voice before because I helped with one of their audio issues or whatever, and I was like, okay. I like them. They're funny.
Yeah.
Very, very in your face, and I love it. I was like, I can't wait for Houston. Houston's going to be so much fun.
Well, thanks for putting all this together, and thanks for taking your time out and dragging everybody along with you,
my
your posse. Yeah.
My camera
thanks,
guy,
Brett, for being
stan.
Here.
Yeah, no, he's the best. I'm so bad at introducing him because I feel like people know him because I post about him on Facebook and stuff. So I'm like, surely people know you. And they don't sometimes.
He's the secret other host that never talks.
Yeah. He's just there, like, typing away. Like, what are you doing? But no, thanks for coming.
Happy to be here.
At least they do it together. He doesn't listen to my show, so.
Well, we're going to be lucky enough to go out for brunch tomorrow, so we need brunch details.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have them yet, but I will.
Okay. Well, text us.
Puppy. I will. I told everybody to look on the group message, and then we'll do it.
Just wanted to throw that out there.
Awesome. We'll be there.
Thank you.
I haven't met you, man. You're recording. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, we just
that's what editing's for.
We pretty much are closing up.
That's what editing's for.
Yeah, it is. And we're a conversational podcast that is
meant for interruption sometimes.
Sometimes, but we're still much more heavily edited than I think a lot of people know. Hopefully they don't.
I couldn't imagine doing a conversationalist type show. I would have such a hard time editing.
Yeah. It's hard.
Because it's hard to keep, like, some things you want to keep in, I'm sure. And then it's like,
yeah, because it's all a natural reaction. If one of us is telling the story to the other person, and then you're losing your mind.
Yeah.
Like, one episode
I want you to hear me. Really? Mm-hmm. Ah.
It's our Lisa Renee episode.
No.
Our hardest episode, easily.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
really
hard.
There's been a couple that we've gotten teary-eyed. But part of it's like we want to keep that kind of material in because I think some of that material listeners really want to hear. It's genuine.
Yeah.
And it's our genuine reaction, like you're saying, of telling the other person the story and how we bounce things off of each other. But then
sometimes when you listen back, you're like, oh, I sound like an idiot right there.
Yeah, that's a terrible point. That makes no sense. Or I just copied what you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
repeats and stuff like that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine. I would have such a hard time doing with it. And I...
Yeah. Well, that's why we tell people that our show is more like half narrated and half conversational, because one person writes a script each week.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a script. It's just we also have banter and reaction.
Yeah. But I like that you guys aren't excessive in your bantering, because I'm so particular as a true crime listener myself. Like, I'm so into true crime. I listen to a ton of shows, but it's hard sometimes to disassociate from the producer side to the listener side. And I think you probably notice that if you listen to podcasts, that your ear is a little different now. You're like, oh, I heard that. Why didn't you edit that? Oh, I heard this. Because I'm huge on, like, breaths and mouth noises. I hear everything, and I'm like, that's just their show. Like, sometimes, I mean, people are very natural, right? And they're speaking, and then especially in their breaths, it flows with the story. I like to give the illusion that I don't breathe at all, so I'm like very like focused. I'm like, get that breath out. But it's changed the way I listen to podcasts, which makes me sad in a way, because there are some podcasts that I really, really loved, and then now I'm like, I can't stop hearing this, and it's hard.
Or like crutch words.
Yes, I'm bad at that.
We
and
are
that comes,
too.
That so comes
it's
up in
my,
conversational.
The worst, yeah.
Because we depend on those middle moments where we're trying to come up with where we're going on our next thought process.
Yep.
And a lot of times we'll say, exactly. We even have a fan drinking game based on how many times we
that's
say
awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or, that's good.
You know,
I like that.
we've also figured out that I can't say especially. I want to say especially. And Erin can't say interesting. She says interesting.
I say interesting.
You say it like a Texan.
Yep.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's not interesting.
No. Nope.
Well, thanks, Lainey,
for
putting this all together. Get your mom and your wonderful husband back to the hotel. Or you could stay here with us and we could take you back to the Indigo. We got a Jeep.
Brett doesn't care. He's like, stay if
Uber
you want to stay.
Take me at any time.
Now I am getting kind of tired myself. So.
Yeah. All right.
I like to blame it on other people.
Okay, so we're back with our Texas Podocalypse Austin Edition live interviews featuring both Erin and myself now, but we've got with us Nerds from the Crypt, which is really cool to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks. And great to talk to you guys. I really like your guys' podcast, and I'm actually just listening to one before on the way over here, so.
Very cool. Yeah, you were telling us you've been listening to the show, and it's always good to have a new listener, but another podcaster is always really cool to have.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you got at least two episodes where I grew up real close to the locations, La Jolla and Brownsville. I'm about 30 minutes away from Brownsville, where we grew up, my wife and I, and about an hour away from La Jolla.
Awesome. So very South Texan.
Yes. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. We try to make a point in our show to explain to listeners, like, how big Texas is and, like, how diverse Texas is.
Well, just so you know, from where I grew up to Austin, it takes about 5.5 hours just to get here. And it still takes another about 8 hours to get somewhere like Plainview.
Yeah.
And even then, you're still hours away from getting out of Texas. So.
Yep.
Tell us about your podcast.
Yeah.
Nerds in the Crypt is a podcast that I started with my friend Nick from the Netherlands. And we actually started off as being a podcast reviewing nothing but Stephen King properties. We really enjoyed the first episode we did, and we're like, we should just open it up to other horror movies. Yeah. And our very first episode was Creepshow. Our second episode was Demon Knight. So I was like, Nerds from the Crypt. It just sounds great.
but your show's kind of gone through like a butterfly evolution, though.
Yeah, yeah. So so I guess I can tell a little sad story about this. Is that my friend and I, we did a couple of episodes. We did about 6 episodes. And last October, he actually passed away. At that time, we were just doing movies. We were trying to bring comic book creators over to be able to talk to them about their horror-related comic books and so forth. That never actually happened with him. He passed away, and I shut down the podcast for a little bit. His family members actually contacted me from the Netherlands and asked where they can hear his voice again. We actually made a tribute episode where all our friends just got together, and he never met any one of us. We just got together and like that, and they were so moved, and they asked me to continue the podcast for him. So I go, okay, I will do that. But I kind of changed it up a little bit. Rather than just do movies, I started interviewing comic book creators, authors of books and novels.
Still kind of in the dark.
Yes, and horror.
Okay.
I've just interviewed someone from Tales from the Hood 2, Mr. Kedrick Brown, who's actually from the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Have you ever seen Tales from the Hood, Aaron?
It sounds familiar. I'm pretty sure it's hilarious.
It's like Tales from the Crypt, but they did it more for like African-American. But it's actually, if I was going to say if there was a movie that creeped me out, it would be the Tales from the Hood, the first one, with the little puppet dolls that come to life.
Yeah.
And anyone who I've ever heard talk and remember Tales from the Hood remembers that episode.
Yes.
And also because, what's his name? The comedian. He was in Living Color. I think he had a show named Dag. I don't remember his full name. I'm blanking out.
David Allen.
Yeah. Yes. He was in it, and everyone knows him as a comedian, right? He was a douche in this movie, and he got his comeuppance. But those are the two episodes that I really hear people remembering. Well, now, 23 years later, they're making a part two. I hear about this, and I'm able to get someone from the movie to come on the podcast, and that's my latest episode that just came out. Keith David is actually reprising the role of the storyteller. And I'm not gonna, if you haven't seen Tales from the Hood, I won't give you what his role is, but it's a twist, as I don't want to actually give it away. But he's taking that role over, and that'll be out in October. So we've been through quite a bit of things here for the show. I'm excited. I actually met someone here that said they can get me in contact with a comic book writer
is
releasing it with Vertigo. So I'm excited to reach out to them. I'm going to be interviewing some people from the UK. Right now they're running a Kickstarter. They might have ended or might about to be ending. It's called Molly the Monster Hunter. But it's really a monster hunter, a female monster hunter, that is chasing the Spindly Man, which is kind of a twist on Slenderman.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to have them on the show pretty soon, hopefully before the Kickstarter finishes, because I like to actually get people from Kickstarter who are currently in the fundraising axis. I can actually get their projects out there and hopefully help them out.
Yeah, promote those.
I have an author from Australia right now who, her name is Ellie Douglas, who's going to be on the show talking about her books, Hounded. It's like a zombie apocalypse, but dogs are the zombies and attacking people. So, which is funny, because we've even talked about it on the show, is people are more sad when dogs die in movies.
We've talked about it in true crime.
Than humans.
It comes up in real life in true crime. If a dog dies in one of our episodes, I will get teary-eyed.
Yeah.
But we can cover a serial killer that has several victims, you know, and I'm just going through it, reading the notes. But if a dog dies, man, oof.
Your listeners will riot.
I know. Yeah, Aaron and I both love horror movies. Every night when we go home, we're always... Actually, we have a chance on our new network to advertise for a particular horror movie network for a streaming service, and we're super excited about that because that's our mainstay. When we're having a date night or we need something to do, we're going to watch a horror movie, right? So what are some of your favorite horror movies, Aaron?
All right, my favorite horror movies are Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Evil Dead, the trilogy, And
not the remake.
I wasn't a huge fan of the remake. Yeah. No. The Thing.
The Thing. Yeah.
Alien.
Aliens. Oh, of course, Alien. Best movies ever made. And
would Terminator be? But the first Terminator would be considered
the
horror,
first Terminator,
right?
Was technically considered a horror movie, but it really took off into sci-fi.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But okay,
yeah.
All right. I'll buy that. Then I will include the Terminator on that list.
Excellent. Well, I would include one of my favorite movies of all time, Jurassic Park, the first one.
Okay. Yeah.
Man, it's
I'll accept it.
You can't say it's not a horror film, though, right?
No. Honestly, guys, I've had conversations with my co-hosts where I can't narrow down what horror is, because to me, the movies that I love the most are something like Silence of the Lambs, are technically aren't horror, but
psychological.
But yeah. I think Hannibal is one of the greatest characters, and not like glorifying what he does, whatever like that, because he's fictional, right? But still, it's the one my co-hosts would say man monsters.
Yeah.
People monsters that scare you the most. We just reviewed not too long ago The Green Room. I don't know if you've seen that one. With Anton Yelchin and what's his name? The guy plays Professor X, Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah. That's the latest Patrick Stewart one.
It's a Anton, you know who Anton Yelchin is?
Yeah.
Okay, so he is in a band who ends up in the middle of, I think it's either Oregon or Washington, and they end up in a Nazi camp, pretty much. And they witness some stuff, and it goes downhill from there.
Yeah, it's been on our Netflix queue for a while, and I put it on there just because Patrick Stewart's in it.
Of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I go, that technically isn't horror, but it is, I consider it horror because the thing that scares me the most is people. Like I said, Hannibal and all that. It's not that it's a monster, but it could be your neighbor and he can eat your face. And
well, you said people monsters.
People monsters,
and
yeah,
that's
yeah.
That branches over into our genre of podcast.
Yeah.
Because that's what we cover is real-life people monsters, and sometimes true life is scarier than fiction.
It definitely is, yeah.
But other times, I'm really freaked out by horror movies and psychological thrillers. And there's something about that drug that we're always searching for in this genre of true crime or horror, psychological thriller, that kind of thing. You get a high on it.
Yeah, I grew up on horror movies. I grew up watching horror movies with my mom. And it was really actually the Mexican horror movies that are watched.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Man, I'd love to watch a Mexican horror movie.
Have you ever seen Luchadores? You know,
no.
There's movies in Mexico where we have luchadores fighting monsters.
Really?
And those are the movies that I grew up with. On top of that, I grew up with Stephen King. I remember watching it. I was like 4 years old, 5 years old.
There's part of the genre there, you know, it's international. We watch a ton of international films. We watched one from Iran the other day, Beneath the Shadows.
Yeah.
Or Beneath the Shadow. It was about the Iran-Iraq War, and it was very demonic. There were some jinns going on. Very interesting. I love seeing another culture interpret horror or psychological thriller.
Well, we're just talking inside. We're taping the review show, whatever, for the questions for Best Darn Diddly, and someone brought up trolls or goblins, something like that. And I believe in goblins, but they're from Mexico. They're called duendes, and they're very real to the culture of Mexicans.
What do they do?
Wow.
It really depends on who you are. My grandfather says he was terrorized by duendes growing up, and really they didn't really mess with him, other than just try to keep him awake at night. For him, they were more being mischievous.
Okay.
And he says that he would wake up in the middle of the night and he would see them looking at him through the window.
Oh, kind of like trickster. Okay.
My mom says she saw them when she was growing up too, and she said that she would see them playing around. And my mom grew up in Mexico. She said that she would see them playing around in the middle of the night, and for some reason, no one else would see them. Well, she moved from Mexico and she married my father. Came to Texas. She never saw them again. It's only while they're in that location that they see them. And I actually have an aunt that will not go back to it because she says she sees things that she does not want to see. So,
really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I grew up with these stories. So, I grew up loving horror.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that's the reason why I still talk about it.
We can talk about this. We're going to do, hopefully, a crossover episode.
Yes.
We haven't decided if Erin's going to do her own episode with you guys, and I'm going to do my own, or if we'll do it together, but we're hoping it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I got high hopes for your show, man.
I'll definitely look out.
I'm really happy you came on. I'm really happy that the batteries held up.
Yeah.
We had more battery than we thought we did. Is there one last hurrah you have for listeners out there? Where can they find you? And any last notes you want to have for things you have going on in the future?
You can find me on Podbean, on iTunes, Spotify, pretty much anywhere where you find podcasts. At Nerds from the Crypt. You can find me on social media at NerdsFTC, Nerds from the Crypt. I also have a second podcast on YouTube, actually, called the Spy Shack Podcast. Not horror-related, not anywhere close. It's actually about Survivor. So if you're into Survivor, you can tune into that. And we talk about Survivor, the latest season, and so forth. Oh,
big
I do want to...
Big Survivor fan?
A big Survivor fan, yes. Okay. I want to actually plug something for my co-host, sure. Greg Smith. He's from Seattle. He just released his graphic novel, Junior Braves of the Apocalypse, Volume 2. It's about a group of Cub Scouts, or Eagle Scouts, I'm not sure exactly what they are, Boy Scouts, who go off on a trip. They come back to the U.S. being zombie land, pretty much.
Wow.
So they're having to fend for themselves. It's a really good book.
Sounds cool.
We just talked to him, actually, about 3 weeks ago. So the latest episode, I turned my co-host into a guest, and he's on there. We talked to him about that stuff.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, everybody be on the lookout for that. Thanks for joining the podcast, and thanks for being here and representing San Antonio and the greater area.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
All right, man.
Awkward handshake.
This is our keynote sign there. All right.
We finally got you on. Welcome to All Crime, No Cattle. I'm Shay, and this is Aaron, and we've got Krista from Lone Star Law and Disorder with us.
Hello.
Yeah, it's good to have you. I'm sorry we missed you when we were down there.
Oh, I know. I'm sad, too. I had no idea that was going to go on that long.
Oh, are you just meaning the live show?
Yeah, the live show that he did. I had no idea it was going to go so long.
Yeah, it had its own complications.
It was a production, for sure.
It definitely did.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your show. So we are big fans of your show. We love it. It is so fantastic. I really think that you're going to really get a ton of listeners very, very soon. I hope you're ready for that.
I'm ready.
Okay, good. So for anybody who may be listening and who isn't familiar with your show, can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Lone Star Law and Disorder, a podcast all about crime and everything that is the criminal justice system and legal system in the Lone Star State. For now, it focuses specifically on crimes in Texas. I try to cover just about everything. I plan to not to limit myself to any specific area or type of crime. And I hope to expand. We've been in East Texas mainly for the first 8 episodes, but I plan on expanding as soon as possible.
Sounds good. So it's pretty much a narrative format, and you do have audio as well, and you do a lot of interviews. So tell us about the interviews and how you actually get to talk to some of the people who are involved in your cases.
Well, I track them down. That is literally what I do. I track them down. And, you know, it may not be possible to get an interview for every episode. Mm-hmm. But if at all possible, I want to get an interview with somebody involved in every case. I think it's important to paint that picture for people. You can read something over and over again, or maybe even hear it reported on the news over and over again, but you'll never truly understand what really happened and what someone really went through until you hear it from someone involved in the crime. And I use the case of James Byrd Jr. that I covered recently as a prime example of that. That story is 20 years old. It's been told over and over again, basically in the same way. I knew the story all my life. I was 18 when that happened, about an hour away from me. And we thought Jasper was going to blow up. You know, the Ku Klux Klan and the Black Panthers were all coming to Jasper on the same day at the same time. And we thought that place was just going to burst into flames and burn to the ground.
Yeah.
But in talking to my interviewee, which was Rodney Pearson, it didn't. And he was able to give a really, really good perspective as to why. And he was able to give a perspective or a point of view that had not been given before, in my opinion. You know, the sheriff got a lot of credit for that crime and for keeping the town together, as well he should. But Rodney was actually the first responder when they found James Byrd Jr.'s body. So he dealt with it from the very beginning. He was involved in the investigation. He was also the very first Black DPS trooper in that area ever. So he was able to give a really good perspective on the racial issues down there. He was involved in the riot team. So when the Ku Klux Klan and Black Panthers came to Jasper on the very same day, he had to stand and protect the Ku Klux Klan members who were screaming racial slurs in the background as part of his job. And so he had the most unique perspective that I've ever heard from that story. Like I said, I've heard it over and over again. But hearing it from him, I had to lean back and he said, hello, are you still there? And I said, yeah, that's a lot to process.
Oh, I was going to say, Shay and I both listened to that episode. It is so well done. And I completely agree with you that getting his description of Jasper and saying that this wasn't quite the place that sort of the media and all of the headlines were making it out to be was a very unique perspective. And that was really cool to hear from your interview with him. It was amazing.
Right. And I thought too that just his position as the very first Black state trooper in that area, I thought that gave him it made his perspective unique.
It did.
It wasn't just the regular townsfolk going, no, no, we're not like that. And he was just so intelligent and well-versed in all of it. And it just, that episode would not have been what it was without him. And I just kind of randomly came across him in an article and thought, you know, I've never heard from him. I'm going to reach out to him. And thank goodness I did because he had so much to say.
Yeah, that was a good get. It was excellent.
Yeah, that episode was just amazing. And I started from your most recent episodes. I listened to 3 while I was mowing the lawn, and that was one of them. And I went inside and Aaron came home and I was like, you have to listen to these. They're fabulous. Like, they're really, really good. And we both just started binging your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I also love how you tie in the local geography and kind of the landscape and the bugs, the plants, the climate, you know.
It's important.
It is important.
You know, we Texans are proud to be Texans, so we got to tell a little bit about why. So I got to slip a little something in there about the Lone Star State every time.
Yeah, and it definitely helps to set the scene for what you're about to talk about. And Aaron and I definitely do that as well in our show because, again, Texas is such a big area and it has so many different, you know, climatological zones. It has so many different environments, so many different big cities versus little cities versus out in the middle of nowhere. Or, you know, it's a complex state.
And you and I discussed it at the meetup that, you know, crossing over, what is it, the Edwards Plateau?
Uh-huh.
Before the Balcon Fault. I mean, those are two, it's like going into a different world.
It is.
It completely changes.
Yeah, when we went on a road trip, Aaron and I, down to that area, I told her, when we come around these next couple of miles, you're going to see it instantly change to the piney woods. And sure enough, you come over a rise and you just go into a valley and that's it. You're in the piney woods for
it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the coolest thing, I think. And so, you know, being Texan, we need to share that with everyone.
Yeah, they think it's all pastures and cows and cowboys riding on
horses.
We got
a lot of that, too, especially in our area.
We do have a lot of that, yes, and especially in your area,
for sure.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, what you do for a living, if you want to talk about that, and what brought you into podcasting.
Well, I actually can't tell you what I do for a living.
I figured, but as much as you'd like to tell us about your background.
I know, I would love to. What I can say is that I have been involved in investigations for 11 years now. A lot of those investigations have to do with the mental health, mental retardation population, people with special needs. That is my specialty. So I have a lot of background in psychology and criminal justice as well. And I call myself a perpetual nerd. I'm constantly, like, I love constantly learning things. I tell my husband I'm just a bastion of useless knowledge. That's another reason I like to put all that information in the podcast is because I want other people to have lots of useless facts in their head, too. Like I said, I've been in investigation for 11 years. I have a lot of, I would say, contacts. I have a lot of access to a lot of material. And I thought, you know, people need to hear these things. I don't want to cover the big, big crimes. Of course, I'll cover them. I want to cover the less known crimes because the victim's voice to me is the most important voice in there.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed in a lot of, and even some of my favorite podcasts, a lot of the focus is on the crime or the person that committed the crime. What's wrong with that person? How could they do that to the other person? And then we forget about the fact that it was done to the other person.
Yeah.
The victim's voice gets lost.
Mm-hmm. But I was just going to say, I think that's something that's really important and definitely was a topic of concern for Aaron and I when we started the podcast. And that's what I love about your show is that both of us try to paint a special spotlight on the victims, their family, the survivors, the law enforcement that are involved in investigating those cases. Because right. those things stick with you and they stay with you. And we also have discussed a little bit about that they're not victims, they're survivors, you know, and they're never going to get past this. They're just going to learn how to cope with it, hopefully, and maybe get to some milestones, but there never is going to be a complete closure. And I think that's something that your show really does a great job with.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with everything you just said. I mean, there are so many more victims to every crime than just the immediate victim. There's family. There's law enforcement. Honestly, you know, being involved in these investigations, it leaves some emotional scars along the way. And so it changes people. The community gets involved in these. The community is affected.
True. Just a case here locally, Tiffany Johnson, she went missing along with another young woman, Taliba Islam, and the whole community has been affected. There's displaced family who aren't here, but a lot of churches have gotten involved. A lot of local community members have gotten involved, and it affects everybody, just like you're saying.
Right, exactly. I mean, and I think that's why the focus of the podcast needs to be what was done to the victim, not so much what the killer did or the criminal did, if that makes any sense at all. But yeah, and I think these podcasts can be so, so useful. They're such a useful tool. One of the things that really got me, you asked a while ago what got me started into podcasting. You know, of course, the mother of all podcast serial is what got me hooked on podcasts.
of course.
I'm going to date myself here, but whenever I heard about serial, I said, oh, where do I watch it? And then when I clicked on it, I was like, what is this podcast? What is this? What do I do with it?
Yeah. I think that was a lot of us, honestly.
Yeah. And I figured out, oh, you listen. You don't watch. Which coincidentally makes it sink in even more, I think. I think when it's just the audio, you don't have all the distractions. Your mind is able to paint its own picture. You're able to form your own opinions a little bit better than when someone's presenting it to you on the screen. I, of course, graduated from Serial to Undisclosed because I had to find out more.
Of course, yeah.
And then that led to the next podcast and the next podcast and the next podcast, which led me to The Vanished with Marissa, and she actually covered my missing person story. I have an uncle that's been missing for 20 years, just vanished off the face of the earth one day. And not a heck of a lot's been done about it over 20 years. So she wasn't enough to cover that story. And then it kind of moved on to another podcast. And I thought, I can do this, and I can be helpful to people. I can be an outlet for people. Yeah. I can be a resource for people. Hopefully this, you know, the podcast can become more than just entertainment, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it can become a resource for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that something that you're planning on covering on your show?
I am. Eventually, as soon as when I'm just 100% comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
And his story is very complicated too. There's a lot to it. So when I figure out how to lay it out just right, get 100% comfortable with it and get, you know, the steady listeners that I need to make it different. I'm going to cover that for sure. I owe it to him. I owe it to my grandmother. I owe it to my mom, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard of a podcast where the narrator or the main podcaster is doing a show where they're the one directly affected or sort of involved or one of the victims or survivors, as we were just talking about. So that would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And obviously get word out, which is always kind of the point behind doing a podcast, is getting the word out, hopefully right. helping to get it solved in some way.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Hopefully once I get 100% comfortable with everything and can figure out how to lay it out just right, it's not about me. It doesn't need to sound like it's about me at all.
Yeah.
So that's going to be kind of a challenge because it is my podcast and I'll be talking about my uncle. So when I get that all figured out, I have plans 100% to cover his case.
And that's awesome. And it kind of goes along with something else that you said, where you were saying that you want your podcast to be a resource where people can go to and they can use that information to help their communities or things that they're passionate about. And that's kind of what we just did with the fundraiser that all of us were involved in with the Texas EquiSearch.
Yes.
And how cool was that, that we were able to raise that much money? That was something that Aaron and I really were passionate about when we first started the show, was we wanted to use this voice and this platform to raise money for causes that are super important for the true crime community and for victims and families. And I was just over the moon with how well we did and how everybody jumped in and participated. I just thought that was awesome. Thank you so much for your involvement in that, too.
I wouldn't have missed it. The story behind Texas EquiSearch is so cool. That didn't get covered on the live show there. I tried to bring it up, but I was just kind of a voice in the background. That whole thing, that whole foundation started the Texas killing field. It's a very interesting story. It's an inspiring story, too. The founder of it, the father of one of the victims, could have just kept spiraling downward and nothing would ever come of it. But he formed this amazing foundation. You know, it's like up from the ashes, rises the phoenix. This amazing foundation offers your services completely free of charge, to victims and their family. They utilize every resource possible. And so I wouldn't know when I found out y'all were supporting that, I wouldn't have missed it. So,
oh, that's awesome. Well, thank you for your involvement. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was really successful. And so hopefully we can all continue to do this in the future and raise even more money for other causes, because it was a great success, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Part of that.
Well, what should people expect in upcoming episodes? Can you give us a few sneak peeks, a little insider information?
Oh, well, I've got a few more crazy cases from behind the Pine Curtain coming up. I do. Oh gosh. You know, I'm really bad about having a schedule. No, I do have a couple of, interviews scheduled for a couple more cases from behind the Pine Curtain. And I'll be branching out a little more towards you guys' area eventually. In my last episode, I do have a sponsor now. It's Sentry On-Site Security and Private Investigation. There are a couple of detectives that I have worked with very frequently. So they are allowing me to utilize a lot of their resources, and they're going to try their best to bring me as many cases as possible.
That's awesome.
So now you guys know how I'm getting my interviews.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah.
Investigators out after you.
And you also mentioned when we were talking at the event that, you know, sometimes you'll be planning an episode and you'll have all the research done and then you'll have an interview back out or a cancellation. And that doesn't help production of your show or keeping a schedule, I imagine.
No, it does not. It does not. I was dreamy-eyed, thinking I was going to put out an every 2 week type of podcast, and that's just not realistic for, I guess, the depth to which I want to cover each case.
Yeah, and that's what makes your show so good, though, is the quality and the depth and all the really interesting facts and people that you bring to the show. You wouldn't want it any other way. You wouldn't want to halfway do it.
Well, thank you. I tell people I'm very much of a perfectionist, and I can be my own worst enemy sometimes when it comes to producing and releasing the episode. I have some super fans out there already that will remind me.
Oh, they will.
Yes. But like you said, I wouldn't have it any other way either. I'm not going to release less than my personal best. I've got cases kind of on the back burner, but they're the ones that it kind of depends on if that interview comes through or not.
Yeah.
You know, I like to give the witnesses or the victims or their families as much time as they need to make that decision. A lot of times it'll seem exciting at first, and then after they think on it for a little bit, it's maybe not something they want to jump into right away.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to, you know, definitely respect their time and wishes too. So like you said, that was one of the things that held me back this month, but everything worked out.
Did you have any other questions, Aaron? Or
That was pretty much it. Is there anything else that you want to bring up?
I just don't know. Right now I'm trying to protect you guys from my three little munchkins inside that are just drooling at the sliding glass door to get out here. So yeah, that is another thing that takes the time up, you know, full-time mom, full-time job, lots of travel softball and podcasting in the middle.
Well, you're doing a great job. And
well, thank you.
Yeah, certainly. And we look forward to working with you more, whether it's a fundraiser or maybe even like a crossover case or something in the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I say the more the merrier, and the more people involved, the more resources we have, you know, the more effective a podcast can be. I'm all about working with anybody who wants to volunteer.
All right. Well, thank you.
I appreciate that. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I would really love to do something like that. And I'm sure there's cases that head out east your way that we can both work on.
Oh, there's plenty. Even I was surprised, even having lived here my whole life and knowing how crazy people can be out here. Even I was surprised at the amount of crazy crimes there are out here.
Yeah, we get responses.
We will never have a shortage.
Yeah, and we get responses from fans like that all the time where they go, I've lived in this town my whole life and I had no idea that happened.
Right. Yeah. That's another cool part of this podcast, actually, is just learning all the different things, all the different people that I didn't necessarily know about living here my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to say to your listeners and to mine, don't be shy about case suggestions. You know, I'm not limiting myself. If it's a murder, if it's a missing person, you know, I'll cover it. If it's something you want to hear about, if it's something the listeners are interested in, it's something I'm interested in covering. So, you know, find me on Twitter, find me on Facebook, send in those case suggestions.
Yeah. Why don't you throw out all the places where everybody can contact you and find you and find your show?
Yeah. Okay. So on Twitter, I'm at Lone Star Law Pod. On Facebook, you can just look up the Lone Star Law and Disorder Facebook page. You can also request to join our discussion group, which is a closed group. I am not on Snapchat or Instagram or anything like that, because I'm managing my own social media. So I gotta keep it limited. But also they can reach me by email at lonelaw18@gmail.com. And that's all lowercase letters. They can use any of those methods to contact me about case suggestions if they just have questions about a case that I've covered that, you know, maybe I didn't quite answer in the pod. I will do my best to answer them on the side.
Awesome. And where can they listen to your show?
iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and doing an interview with us. We loved talking to you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, I wish we would have had more time with you. I know you were busy with the live show and stuff at the event. But there's always next time around. And I think we're planning on doing something in Fort Worth next year. So you'll have to come to Funky Town. We'll take you around Panther City.
Heck yeah!
Okay, well, you get back to those kiddos. And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Krista. Bye.
Bye.
This is Angelica Norton.
And this is Amber Moreno.
I produce and I host a podcast called Chatty Crafties. I chat with our crafty friends about what drives them to make, perform, and create.
It's not about perfection.
No!
It's about expression. We invite you to peer into the lives of our guests' creative processes and inspirations. We hope to excite those who assume they're not creative and support those who may have forgotten that they are.
Honestly, I just want to celebrate and absorb their creative energy to try new things, so it won't sound so daunting for me to, sew a swimsuit, tell a story on stage in front of strangers, or get back into painting.
So find us at chattycrafties.com for a new episode every Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Now go make some art.